Yes, sir. You guys are right now tuned in to a bonus episode of Dad's
Brand New LCP.
Now, last week on IG, on Instagram, my IG is Lunchroom Chat Apart. I asked the question, I said, fellas, would you play a gay character if you was an actor? Now, the scenario I posed was, make believe you in Target. If you are in Target and you run into legendary black director Antoine Fuqua, let's clap it up for Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day, so many other amazing black movies. Now, you run into Antoine Fuqua. You are the man I need. I want you to star in three movies for me. Three movies. The role I got for you, I want you to play a gay actor, but I'm paying you $1.5 million per movie. For you motherfuckers who can't count, that is $4.5 million to play a gay character in a three-movie deal. And I said, would you do it? Because, and I know some of you guys are going to look at me crazy, but one of my favorite characters on TV is Lil Murda. I want to clap it up for J. Alphonse Nicholson, man, because he does a great job on P-Valley. I cannot wait for season three. Now, I don't know why, but just his character, the way he embodies the role, the way he can play the gangster with emotions and then dumb it down. When he does have the gay sex scenes, when he does interact with, you know, the people of the LGBTQ plus community. So again, I got to clap it up, man, because he does an amazing job. And one thing I did not know, you know, until I think midway through season two, was that he's married. He has a wife. And so many things popped in my head because I know a lot of black women, especially, would not be okay with their man playing a gay role. So J. Alphonse Nicholson, maybe about a year ago, he went on the podcast with Jemele Hill and she asked him, have you had any reservations about playing the gay man on P-Valley? Because, of course, you know, in black culture, it's so many stigmas, there's so many stereotypes that we try to combat, that we try to stay away from, especially as black men, because you're scared. You become fearful of what family, what friends, and especially the public is going to think about you, even though this is the type of role that can just skyrocket you to stardom. So listen to what some of what J. Alphonse Nicholson had to say. Again, this is the podcast hosted by Jemele Hill, where she asked the question, have you had any reservations about playing a gay man on P-Valley? Listen to what J. Alphonse Nicholson had to say.
A lot of reluctance from male actors, and especially from black male actors, in terms of playing queer characters. From the onset, you knew what this role was. You knew what it would entail. What made you comfortable playing this kind of character?
I just, you know, for one, wanted to continue to show my range as an actor. And I believe that playing someone completely different than who you are is the absolute best way to kind of show your range. I knew that I wanted to shake up the industry to a certain extent as far as what we normally see. And then most importantly, I wanted to prove to myself and to others that I could be an ally, but that you can too. And that, yeah, it may make you uncomfortable because it's something that you're not used to or that you may not have always been privy to of understanding. But if you open your mindset to it, and as far as storytelling, it's so technical, so many things that looks real that are not, that are able to allow me to feel comfortable enough in my sexuality, also comfortable enough in just who I am as a person and how much.
I want to pause it just for a second, because what he said right there is the key part. You have to be comfortable in who you are. You have to be comfortable and strong and stand firm on your sexuality, because if you know you're not gay, like I said, sometimes you got to remove yourself and sometimes you have to look at it as art. Because if you look at the other show on Starz, Power Book, the power spinoff with Tyreek, the character on there, Drew, who is part of the Tejada family, he's gay on the show, but he also has a wife. And I'm sure that these wives support their husbands because it benefits them. You know, if you look at J. Alphonse Nicholson, if he gets a big breakout role, which he did on P-Valley, that can skyrocket you to other movie roles, new TV shows, and you're his wife. So you are going to now become a beneficiary of that lifestyle. Sometimes you have to take your mind away from the stigmas. And as they say, you have to look at it as art. within our culture, it's a lot of homophobic shit, especially in black culture. I want to boo that shit because J'Alphonse Nicholson, his career skyrocketed after playing Lil Murder in P-Valley. And had he succumbed to the pressure that I'm sure he faces, especially from our own culture, his career would not be taken off as it has been. So I want to clap it up for him for having the courage, for having the mindset and the mentality to stand strong on what you believe. Now, J'Alphonse, come on, talk to me, baby.
On the show as an actor that I can do it. But, you know, it was a part of it that said, listen, I really want to show these people in this community that I love them, that I care about them, that I see you, you're my family, and that I'm also still learning. Having to make sure you shed all those things is important. You know, wanting my son to understand that everyone deserves to be loved, that everyone deserves to be seen, no matter who they love, no matter what gender they choose to love, no matter what goes on in their bedroom, because most of the time it's similar to what other people got going on in their bedroom. It ain't too much different. And so I wanted to have that message be out there and be potent. It's like, yo, we got to chill out with all the fucking corny shit. Like, we got to chill out with all the fucking silly shit. And even me, like I said, just continue to grow myself and understand, like, man, yeah, everything is not to be made light of. If one person is offended by a joke or anything that you may say or do, it's not cool. And so a lot of that thinking went into me taking this role. So it was a crazy list of thoughts, obviously, that went into, like, do I really want to do this? But I looked at the pros and I looked at the cons. The pros, you go get crazy amount of love. You're going to get other opportunities. The cons, you're going to get a crazy amount of hate.
That's a fact.
You'll get a crazy amount of people to say, hell no, nah, we don't want that type of shit over here, whatever the case it may be. But the love obviously outweighs the hate. And it allowed me to understand, like, yeah, this is something that I need to do, not only for myself to be able to, like I said, be more of an ally, and then to put some action behind. It's one thing to say, hey, man, I love you. You know, do your thing, brother. It's another thing to actually put some action behind it. And
I want to clap it up, man, for J'Alphonse Nicholson, man. And again, you guys can find that in the full interview on Jemele Hill's YouTube page. Again, that is Jemele Hill. And that's powerful, man, because we just seen the start of the year with Cat Williams, where he went on Club Shay Shay and he made fun of black actors and black comedians who've put on a dress in movies. But to me, that's art. Now, of course, like I said, the fact that within our culture, everything, damn near everything is gay. If you wear a dress, you gay. If you wear a dress, you know, you've been forced to wear it. But no, sometimes, like if you look at the movie White Chicks with Sean and Marlon, that movie is not funny if Sean and Marlon get two white girls. That movie is funny in a cult classic because it was them who put the dresses on, because it was them who played on the white woman stereotypes. That's why the movie was funny. If they had got, you know, Tracy and Sarah, two white girls, it wouldn't be as funny, because it's not funny when you see white girls being white girls. But when you see two black men imitating what they think white girls do, that's where the humor comes from. That's where it's funny, and it's art. And outside of that movie, they don't walk around in dresses, because you snap in and you snap out. So I want to take a second, man. I want to play for you guys a voicemail I got in relation to what this woman would do if her man, her husband, had the chance to make $4.5 million. Ooh, I know it ain't bullshit.
A bullshit? A bullshit? A bullshit.
We're talking
a bullshit.
We're talking real shit. We talking real. We talking that money. We talking that moolala. We talking that dinero. We talking that guaha.
Brand new LCP.
Girl, talk to me. What would you tell your man?
You better pucker up. I will buy you some chapstick for all three movies so your lips are nice and smooth. Or do you prefer lip oil? I mean, I don't care. Do you, Bobo? Get that 4.5.
I want to clap it up. That is what you call a ride or die. She said, look, for that $4.5 million, I'll buy you some lip gloss, some chapstick. What you need, some Maybelline? what you need. I will go to Ulta Beauty. I will get you every type of lip shit they got in there for that 4.5 mil. Like I said, that is a supportive woman. A woman who not going to judge you because she know that 4.5 million is coming back into the household. When it comes to dating, you can't critique and bash a man for everything. And now when he goes and dates somebody else, a black man go dates a white woman, a Chinese woman, or whoever, somebody who's going to support and be that ride or die, that backbone. And now that woman is now enjoying the fruits of the labor in which you judged him for. You can't sit back now and have animosity towards somebody else because that woman did what you wouldn't do. You got to accept that. If you ain't want to support my guy, J. Alphonse, as he became Lil Murda, now don't sit back and now you are envious and now you bitter because somebody else supported him and now she is reaping the benefits of that career elevation.
A bullshit. A bullshit. A bullshit. Bullshit.
Now, I was watching a clip from Good Morning Britain, and they had an actor on there, and they dived into a quick question, a quick segment regarding, can straight actors play LGBTQ+ roles? So I'm going to dive into this quick clip, and then I got a follow-up voice message from the last episode. At the end of the last episode, I played the clip regarding the jail segment about people who were sentenced to life in prison from the time they were teenagers. Do you believe that if they get life at that young of an age, that they should serve out the rest of their life behind bars? Some other shit I want to dive into. There was a mom in Syracuse who snuck into a school and beat the teacher ass. So we're going to get into some of that shit, but let's play from Good Morning Britain. Can straight actors play gay characters? Talk to me.
His new film, The Prom. Well, joining us now, star of stage and screen, Christopher Biggins, and journalist Benjamin Butterworth to discuss whether only gay actors should play gay characters.
Right, Benjamin, first question, what is an actor?
Well, an actor is someone who plays something else, portrays a role that's been written fictionally.
Okay, good. We've established, we can all agree on that. Second question, should straight roles, heterosexual roles, in movies and television only be played by straight actors?
No, and I don't accept that that's the same as the reverse.
Okay, you know, of course. Okay, I didn't expect you to. I just want to establish some ground rules that we can all agree on. So you don't think that only straight actors should play straight parts?
And let me tell you why.
No, hang on. Hang on, I'm going to come to that, and I will be fair to you. I just want to establish that actors play other roles, and nobody with a brain thinks that only straight people should play straight parts. We could all agree on that before the debate begins, right?
Before the debate begins, yes.
Okay. Christopher Biggins, you've been in the thespian world for a long time. Good morning to you. You've been in the thespian world a long time. Given that acting is about playing other roles and other parts and other people, and given that we all agree it would be ridiculous if only straight people played straight parts, what do you make of this debate?
Ridiculous.
Why do you think, if you think that gay actors could play straight parts, why only gay actors should play gay parts?
Well, look, first of all, the reason that, you know, a gay person is obviously capable of playing a straight character. You know, most gay people have spent half their lives acting straight. We tend to be pretty good at it. But the fact is, and this is what Russell T. Davies was arguing when he was talking about his new show, which is about the HIV epidemic in the late 80s, is that there is an authenticity to a gay person that can bring to that role. There is a rawness, there is a reality, there is an extra dimension that improves their performance and ability to tell it. And the other thing is that they're underrepresented.
So we can stop it right there. So clearly there's a double standard because he said, I believe that gay actors can play straight roles, but that straight actors should not play gay roles because they are taking roles from us. But now the same can be said for the reverse. And that's why I was trying to get into the mindset a little bit because it's clearly a double standard. I commend the actors who actually play those roles, the people like J. Alphonse Nicholson, the people like Heath Ledger when he was in Brokeback Mountain. I respect them actors so much because, like they said, acting is an art. Anything you do acting, when Denzel acts, he is portraying somebody else that is not himself. If you sign onto a role and the character is gay, you have to put yourself as best as you can within your craft into the mind. You have to embody that of a gay individual. So I want to give it a hand clap to those who actually can do that. Because it's not something that's easy, but it's something that you have to do, especially if you are an actor, especially if you care about your craft. But now let's dive into the voicemail I got in relation to the question last week. Should teen murderers who are sentenced to life in prison be forced to stay in prison? We talk about murder. We're not talking about robbery. We're not talking about stealing from your grandma's purse. We talking about that M, that big M, that murder. But should they get out? Can they change? Can they grow? Can they elevate? Let's see what my man had to say. Talk to me.
So this is a response to the last question you had on your podcast. And yeah, I believe you should be able to get out as a teenager, because while you do grow, your body is going to grow the older you get and your mind, but especially the mind, when you're younger, you don't know what you think you know. And like the older you get, you start to sit down and realize, especially if you're in jail, like you have time. I would assume, I've never been, that you have time to yourself to think and think about your decisions. And the older you get, the more you start to realize, like, life isn't life there. You're just existing, waiting to die.
That's a fact.
I feel like, yes, we do have one life, and I feel like living life like that, regardless of who you are, is worse than death. To know that you're going to be there for the rest of your life, even if you did take a life, it's just unfathomable to think about that you have to stay there for the rest of your life.
I want to clap it up, man, but that's true, man, because, you know, when you, if you take a second and think outside of yourself, like, can you imagine if you get up right now and you walk inside your bathroom, like walk inside your bathroom or go in your bedroom and just picture that from the time you walk in there, that is where you are going to be the rest of your life. Now you can come out, you can go to the bathroom, you can come out, you can maybe take a few walks and shit like that, but your bathroom or your bedroom, that is going to be your central location for 23 hours a day for the rest of your fucking life. Now, can you imagine? You're 30, 31, 32 years old, and let's say you live a long life until the age of 99. That is where you are going to live for the rest of your fucking life. Taking a life should not be overlooked, but I just can't imagine somebody being 15, 16. And again, of course, the victims have a family too, and they should have a say. I'm kind of torn on that, man, because it's things that we all did when we were 14, 15. Now, again, some worse than others. Like, some might have stole from their grandma's purse. Some might have, you know, kicked the cat. I've seen 14-year-old kids sentenced to life in prison. And I just think about 14. Now, if that person lives today, 90, 91 years old. But let that be a lesson. Kids out there, fellas, teens, even adults, bro, just stay away. Like, do your best to not even put yourself in a position to where you gotta take a life. And I know sometimes the shit might come to you. You might be a gun owner. Like my guy Sully, you might be home at the crib, motherfucker breaking, and now you gotta pop pow. Now you gotta hit him with the pop pow. Because they decided to come into your crib. So like I said, it's kind of a hit or miss. But all we can do is kind of minimize our chances to actually put ourselves in those positions. But now, I was on Apple News last night, right? And I seen there was a mom in Syracuse, New York, who beat her daughter's teacher ass. Now, she was so slick with the shit. She was slick with the shit because she only 4'9". Now, she got to the school with her mom. Now, she wanted to go into the classroom, but security stopped her. But she was 4'9", so she put a hoodie on and she blended in with the kids, got to the class, and beat the teacher ass. Y'all already know. Y'all know I got the clip pulled up. Y'all know I got that news clip queued up from Syracuse.
Middle school tonight left to recover from broken bones in her face, badly damaged nasal passages, after police say she was attacked in school Friday by 31-year-old Linzina Sutton.
At last check, Sutton was still jailed tonight. News Channel 9's Ashley Cafaro, she's live outside of Lincoln Middle School for us tonight. Ashley, what did the DA have to say about what happened and the security breach?
A Lincoln Middle School teacher now left with broken facial bones after a Syracuse mom is accused of assaulting the teacher last Friday morning.
She's going to have some long-term issues. Yeah, I don't know. I know her nasal passages were severely affected.
The mom, 31-year-old Lenzina Sutton, was arrested Friday on assault and battery charges. Her bail was set at $5,000 cash. She's accused of bypassing school security, finding the teacher, and hitting them multiple times.
It's disturbing to me that she was able to enter the school.
Onondaga County District Attorney Bill Fitzpatrick says he does not believe a weapon was involved and says from what he understands is a number of students in a classroom witnessed the assault, many now questioning school security.
And I don't know what happened here. I hope it never happens again. And I'm sure that, you know,
I want to pause it and I want to say that's some bullshit. Now, her last name is Sutton, so I don't know, so I'm assuming she's black. I don't care if she's black, white, Chinese, Asian, Hispanic. That's some bullshit. Going to beat your child up is not the answer. Now, when I worked in the school district, even when I was back in New York City, like one of the toughest things as an educator is the parents. Especially if you got a child that has ghetto parents, because in their eyes, their child can do no wrong. Their child can come to school, punch a kid, smack the teacher. I had one student break a teacher's arm. His mom came to school and put the blame on the teacher. Y'all need to learn how to handle my son better. Bitch, what? What, bitch? What? She said, y'all need to learn how to handle my son better. My son wouldn't have broke the teacher arm if y'all would have got to him. Wait, that shit makes no fucking sense. That's why I say it's moms like that who make it difficult. It's parents like that who make it tough. It's dads who show up to fight the teacher that make it difficult. Now, I got a story coming up soon where my son had his first football practice. His football practice, as I said on my Instagram, which is Lunchroom Chatter Pod, my son's football practice lasted about 15 minutes before I took him and I said, let's go. We out. A disgruntled father showed up on the field to fight the football coach 10 to 15 minutes into my son's football practice. Now, going back to the parent who fucked up the teacher, that woman's mom was with her when the shit was about to go down. Because that parent showed up with her mother. They showed up so that way they can talk to the teacher, have a reasonable conversation, but security stopped them both from getting through. And after security stopped them, the mom threw her hoodie on, snuck past security, got to the classroom, and beat the teacher ass. Now, this is what that parent's mom had to say. Listen to what she had to say, because she sounds like she wasn't going there for the bullshit. She sounds as if she was going there to have a reasonable, grown conversation, and simply she could not control her daughter.
To be that way, and I apologize for, you know, and I hope she recovers, and there's always a better way to handle stuff. And we were going to talk at the school to have a conversation.
So she said they was going to the school to have a conversation. But her daughter was going there to fuck up a teacher because she wasn't playing. They said she got straight to that classroom. It was kids in the classroom. And she beat up the fucking teacher in front of the kids. Like, do y'all know how fucking embarrassing that is? Especially as a teacher. But now, for that daughter, because now, when you show up to school, teachers, they looking at you a certain way because they know now you have the ghetto mom. Now, some teachers might be scared to even discipline you because you got the ghetto hood rat mom that's going to show up. So now, you probably going to get put in special ed classes. That's where you probably going to be. In the special ed classes, because nobody want to deal with your mama. Parents don't want you in the class. Teachers don't want you in the class because they can't do their job properly. Because you got the ghetto hood rat mom that's going to show up and want to show out for some bullshit. Boo, bitch. That's not how you handle some shit. But now, going back to my son's football practice. So, you know, my son got signed up for football practice. His first time playing football. My son was excited. Daddy, I can't wait to play football. I want to go. I need some shoes. I need some XYZ. I'm like, Jordan, let's go to the first practice. Let's see what happens. And then I'll get you some cleats after if this is something that you actually want to do. So we pull up at the location. Again, I didn't put him in this shit. This is some shit that his mom put him in. So we pull up at the location, right? Now, I knew some shit was off because we pull up and it was a bunch of grown men outside smoking blunt, smoking weed. And I seen some alcohol bottles on the floor. And I'm like, where the fuck we at? But then I started seeing that some of these men had on football coach shirts. And I'm like, is this where the football shit is at? Like, you got kids pulling up. You got kids showing up. And y'all just out here smoking blunts and smoking and shit. I'm like, this shit's so ghetto. Again, I'm not saying you can't smoke, but, like, this is not some shit that you do as the kids are arriving. So I'm like, okay, shit look kind of ghetto. It look hood. Look like some hood rat shit. So my son sees one of his friends who he has basketball with. My son got excited. I said, Jordan, okay, you can get out the car. So we get out the car. I go see where the coach is at. I see the coach. You know, I greet the coach. And they start walking down towards the field. Now, as they're walking down towards the field, there's a guy in the parking lot. He's yelling. He's throwing his arms in the air. He's using profanity. And I'm like, what is he cursing about? But then he's pointing towards my son's coach and towards all the kids as they walk towards the football field that's down towards the back. So I'm like, this shit look kind of off. Again, my plan was to go sit in the car, wait about an hour and a half, and then go to the field, watch the last 30 minutes of my son's practice, and then we go. Because I felt as if I sit there, my son, he always looks at me to kind of see if I approve something, and he gets distracted. So I'm like, I'm going to go sit in the car. But after seeing that shit, I'm like, you know what? Let me go to the field. So I get to the field. They started doing high knees and, you know, sprints and shit. About 10 minutes after practice start, that same guy is walking down with his son. That guy has his child with him, about the same age as my son, probably about 8 or 9 years old. So he walks to the field, goes up to the coach. He don't even say shit. He walks up to the coach, pop, 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 punch the coach straight in the fucking face. The coach fall down. The guy dive on the coach. They fighting. They legit having a grown man ass hood street fight in front of about 15, 16 kids. So there's another parent next to me, and I turned to her. I said, do you see this shit? Is this real or they bullshitting? Because the shit happened so suddenly, I didn't know if they was playing or not. But once I saw it was real, I got up. I said, Jordan, we out this shit. My son said, why, daddy? What's going on? Why are they fighting? I said, Jordan, let's go. The assistant football coach, he tried to stop me from leaving. He's like, yo, nah, come back. I'm like, them motherfuckers are still on the floor fighting. This some ghetto shit. This some ghetto hood rat shit. Like, whatever beef y'all got, y'all need to resolve that shit before y'all bring that shit around them kids. Because what if that guy had come up and just start shooting? Y'all know how shit be in the hood. He pulled up and just start shooting on this motherfucker, and you got 15, 16 kids, including my son, right there in front of that shit. That's some bullshit. That's not how you handle confrontation. Because as a leader of a football team, you're supposed to set leadership roles. You're supposed to be a good influence, a good role model for these kids. So whatever beef, whatever little hood beef y'all got going on, because that guy was looking for you. Like, that wasn't some mistaken. No, that guy, he saw you and he wanted you. So to even put all them kids in jeopardy like that, that's not how you do that shit, man. And then y'all on the floor fighting, y'all cursing back and forth, all this fucking vile fucking language in front of these kids. That's not the example that you want to set for kids, especially the kids who are going there to practice, going there to learn, going there to just, you know, blow off steam. And so that's some bullshit. We ain't doing that shit. Y'all know what time that is.
A bullshit. A bullshit. A bullshit. Bullshit.
But like I said, man, you guys who stay showing love, stay showing support, stay supporting that.
Brand new LCP.
Thank you again. My Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Chatterpod. Remember to share the podcast with your friends, with your mama, your coworker, your auntie, your niece, your nephew, your bae, your side bae, your side hubby. Make sure you share that podcast, man. Again, it's that bonus episode. Hope you guys loved it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And again, stay locked in. Y'all know what time it is. This is Dad's
Brand New LCP.